Ed Douglas, and I should remember your name from Midnight Syndicate. And the reason why I should remember your name is because the first question I wanted to ask is, I know you more from the Halloween music. And as a musician myself, I've always wanted to ask someone like you, what was it that gravitated you towards the Halloween music scene, the scary music stuff? Yeah.
Which I just, I mean, I lived for that stuff. I mean, for literally as long as I can remember. So, anything that I've ever done creatively, whether it's like a film or music, has always had a dark spin on it. And so, naturally, my first, most of, I started in music, but most of my formal training was in theater and film, and all my projects were. Of course, horror, I say that in quotes, horror films
Sure.
early on with my parents' VHS camera, and then later on, even in college, a little short like Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt. God, I love that stuff. And that's all my earlier work was kind of around that, that area. So it only made sense that, with Midnight Syndicate, that, it would be a darker theme type music. I think. That's what sparks the imagination most, I think, like the shadows, the things we can't see out there. And so the music that I make with Gavin is designed to just kind of play off your imagination and pull you into this dark world. It is about the horror and the fantastic. And that's really where the genesis of Midnight Syndicate, came from. But then, when you're looking at the whole, how you're going to get this music. Because we were making this without a label, we're doing this all ourselves.
Right.
To get that music out there to people who wants to hear this type of music. And outside of you clearly have people that are into gothic music and they love that. So there's people that we want to reach out there. But then you have the whole, everybody that loves Halloween.
Right.
People that do these haunted houses all across the country, they and there wasn't any good Halloween music. I mean, I remember this is back in like 97 we were doing this. And back in 97 there just wasn't any good Halloween CDs. There really wasn't. It was like all cheap sound effects cassettes that they were just, regurgitating from the 60s. Just because nobody cared enough. It's not that they couldn't do better.
Right.
And then you had these Monster Mash compilations, which aren't really spooky. It's just like party music.
Right.
Which is cool too. But for good dark Halloween atmosphere, for stuff that, people would want to play outside their haunted house or in an amusement park, for people that would want to, really decorate their house up and really have some, cool, dark atmosphere. There was nothing out there. So we saw an opportunity. We're like, well, this is a great place for Midnight Syndicate to take our music, and that's how we started getting into Halloween. We just started, our first store that picked us up was, the first store that picked us up was a gaming store that used us for background music and the role-playing games, but
Okay.
Right outside of that, it was like a Halloween store,
Yeah.
And we took it in there and we said, this is a different kind of Halloween music CD for you. And they listened to it, and the owner's eyes lit up, and one of his employees like, wow, what is that? And, from then on, it just kind of went from there. We hand-deliver these CDs to Halloween stores in our area, and then,
Right.
Just eventually took it to the next level,
Sure.
I guess, and before you knew it, we were getting more and more involved with the holiday, more and more haunted houses using us, and more just popping up in weird places. Anytime, like when Monday night, I mean, we have this on our site because I think it's fun because I love, I'm a big football fan, big Browns fan, but, Monday night football, we're watching Monday night football, and it
Right.
happens to be like near Halloween, and like they're tossed into a break, and they got the helmets there and a pumpkin, and they're playing our music in the background. It's like at that time, we kind of realized we were kind of infiltrating, a little bit the celebration of the holiday. You walk down the street and you hear some of the music playing out of the houses and stuff
Right.
like that. And so, we became kind of synonymous with that holiday, and that's totally great because it's our favorite time of the year, as it is.
Yeah, and you really have.
Yeah.
That music's been out there. And then, of course, you use the same title kind of for this brand of horror films that you're making. The film itself is released on this Midnight Syndicate label as well. And how would you describe your mission statement for the films under Midnight Syndicate?
You know, it's much of the same as it is for the music. The whole idea of everything that we do is to spark people's imagination and to give them enough details about this world we're trying to create to try and get them to ask their own questions and fill in the blanks where we leave blanks. And so that's the idea with the music. It's the movie. It's more like a world-building thing. We want to just throw a bunch of things, you know, and kind of like get you interested in this world, you know, where vampires have this drug that will allow them to stay out in the daylight, but they get addicted to it. And so, well, that's an interesting, you know, I mean, these different little elements that we throw out there in the film. So I think that's pretty much how we run it. I definitely think that Midnight Syndicate is we're into the fantastic side of horror, at least for when we create our own stuff. It's less about the real life horrors and more about escapism.
Right.
I think that's what the movie's about too, escapism. You know, I suppose it just take you away for a little while, an hour and a half, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let you forget about the real stuff going on, or you know, not that I don't love. I love all horror films. I really do. But for what Midnight Syndicate does, it's more fantasy, dark fantasy, horror. You know, we have vampires, and zombies, and you know, relics that bring back the dead. You know, kind of the supernatural type elements.
Well, and talking about the dead matter, now. I keep hearing that this is based on an earlier film, and even in your commentary, you talk about this, that's based on a sort of a remake of an earlier film, but I got to tell you, I can't find any information. I've never seen the earlier film. Can you tell us about the original Dead Matter?
Yeah, the original Dead Matter, we shot, it was my first project out of college, and we only had like $2,000 to make this film. So, and back then, you know, God, I feel so old. This is the second time I'm throwing this back then. Back when we were young, we didn't have these fancy cameras.
But this was just back in the 90s, right?
Well, pardon? Yeah,
this was just back in the 90s.
94. Oh, so if you got $2,000 back in 94, you're not shooting on film.
No.
You're shooting on Super VHS or VHS. And that's exactly what we were, Super VHS. Because that's what we could afford, and we wanted to make the movie. We wanted to tell our story. And so the downside of that is, your quality is tough. The picture quality is tough. Like, when I needed to make a cut of the movie, when the first version was too long, I have, you know, the whole thing on tape. It's all on one continuous tape. So I can't re-edit the movie again shot by shot. So I just lost another generation and made a copy of what was already a copy, you know, to cut down the movie. So the picture quality, not good. Audio, well, as good as we could, do with a one- or two-person crew.
Right.
And I think that's what really held us back on the movie, you know, outside the fact that we were still, you know, learning and stuff. But but the idea was always to do it again with an actual budget. I thought, I like this story. I like some of the concepts that we have here. Some fun, different angles. I'd like to do this again with an actual budget. So even back then, that plan was, we did, we sold it through bmovie.com, Sub Rosa Studios. Ron Bonk was cool enough to pick it up for us, and, you know, we sold some copies, but no, they're rare, they're few and far between, and what we'll probably do, because a lot of people are interested in seeing that original version, as soon as I can get in touch with everybody, and I'll definitely be releasing that again.
Yeah, it made me interested in seeing what the original might be about.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, and then there's a lot of things that are different, you know.
Yeah.
13 years of watching people watch your old film and go, oh, that worked, or oh, that definitely did not work, we got to get rid of that. And then just watching, you know, how much more life experiences we had over that time, and how many more horror films we were able to watch.
Sure.
So I think, the new script is not even in the same ballpark as the old one, as far as, you know, I think. And the cool dream sequences and different elements that we added to this new version, Tony actually did that.
Right.
He's the co-writer who did a lot of this, a lot of the great changes on this new script. You know, it's good. It worked.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say that if there's a, and I don't want to call it necessarily a flaw, but if there's an issue with this movie, it's that it seems like you guys were incredibly ambitious. There's a lot going on in this movie. There are a lot of subplots going on. There's a lot of information happening, a lot of characters with their own little deals going on. Did that worry you going into a low-budget movie?
Yes, it was very ambitious. We knew that, and I knew that going in. Gary Jones, he's the producer that helped make this all happen. Well, Robert Kurtzman, of course. Robert Kurtzman, me and Gary Jones. That's
right.
Of us coming together is what allowed this to happen. Gary was, the line producer though. He's the guy that took, that script and then had to take our limited budget and make it work. So yeah, all those locations that we have, that was a real challenge. And when you have a limited budget, that just means you have less time to shoot each sequence. You just don't have time to have, 40 different camera angles. You have to be more, selective on what you put in there, and as far as that goes. But, it did concern me, but it's the story we wanted to tell. We wanted to see, can we make it happen? And if we can make this happen, then let's do it. Let's do it. I do know that, we have a lot of subplots. One of the things that I like is I like horror films where you can't figure out exactly what's going to happen in the first half hour.
Right.
That's a big thing for me. And that's why I wanted this, especially with not all the independent horrors, but especially with a lot of the B movies. Sometimes the plot, the story gets thrown by the wayside. I just didn't want that to be. I wanted to, have it so that you thought it was going a certain way, and then we turn things on its side.
Right.
And kind of. So, that was part of my goal. Is there too much going on in there? I just don't know. I definitely had, some people are like, wow, yeah, there's a lot. Or I would really like to have found out more about this particular element and, like with the whole drug. And looking back on it, it's like, I guess, I would have, liked to, explore that more. But maybe there will be an opportunity to explore that more in another project or at a later time or something like that. That's my idea. We just planted the seeds here. Good. Maybe something else down the road.
Yeah. And let's talk about the cast. For a B film, you've got some pretty good people in here. I mentioned, particularly in my review, is it Shawn Serino? Is that how she pronounces it?
Yes.
Shawn is, she's not this gorgeous woman by any means, but she has a presence that I was quite impressed with. She just eats up the camera, and I don't know if that's something you noticed when you first auditioned her, or when you first looked at her, or even if you expected that to happen.
Yeah, I think she's she's got a quality about her that I really enjoy, and I love the way she just has a great a great look, a great presence, and that's what I liked. And different, and that's what drew me to her, and she really did a good job with the readings and everything like that. And so it's a tricky role because this character is clearly not playing with all a full deck. Especially after this whole thing is about the loss of her brother, and she feels very responsible. It's like her sole driving purpose is to try and reconnect with them, and maybe take him to the way far extreme. So she was throwing a lot of challenges, and I think she did well with that.
And she got to turn on a little bit more, emotion when of course she got possessed and she's turned into this badder character, and I think that gave a chance to actually see a little bit of contrast to how she'd been in the beginning of the film.
Absolutely. We try and mix it up. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. She got a lot of different opportunities to do a lot of different things on there. That was part of the reading. Some of the scenes and stuff when we were casting, we were having different actors and actresses read different actresses read for the part of Gretchen. Yeah, we definitely had them do all the aspects of the film, so we can get the different how they handled all the different looks and that character required.
Jason Carter, you had to have cast him for his voice. He's got just one of the best voices in this kind of film.
I absolutely love Jason. He was awesome. Every time he hits the screen, my eyes are drawn to him. I never have any. He's a vampire hunter. Oh, yeah. I just buy into his character immediately. Yeah, the English accent and everything like that is very Hammer, which is one of my biggest influences.
Exactly.
I love that. But I just love the way he brought such an intensity to that character. And he was on set. Same thing with Tom and same thing with Andy. Mm-hmm. When they were on set, the other newer actors just totally fed off that. It raised, it elevated everybody. They elevated all the actors around them with their intensity and what they brought to the set, which was great. And yeah, Jason's just incredible. Mm-hmm. I definitely look for, I can't wait to work with him on something else because he's got so much to offer. Really, he does.
Yeah. Now, Tom Savini, underrated as an actor because, of course, we all know about his wonderful work in makeup effects and such. I've had the opportunity to hang out with him a couple of times. But did you expect him to steal the scenes he was in just with those looks?
I was hoping. I was hoping he would because I've been watching him over the years in these acting roles. Because I know that's where I know he's done a lot. I mean, clearly, his effects, his, you know, what he did for that, for the industry,
yeah,
horror effects, that's done. Like, we all know, you know, he's established himself. He doesn't need to prove anything.
Right.
And I think he really loves to act. And so I was really just studying the different roles that he played. And this character was just perfect for him. And, no, he brought, you know, I should say that I was expecting him to really deliver because I knew that he could do it.
Yeah.
But then he surprised me with some of the little bits of improv that he added. Virtually every little thing.
Yeah.
And he did little extra add-ons. We ended up keeping it. It was perfect. And I was like, really, I really loved it because Tom and I are friends and have been for a very long time.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy. And when we were going to do the first Midnight Syndicate movie, there was never any doubt Tom was going to be a part of it. So to have him come on set and deliver like he did and surprise us with a couple little extra things was just awesome.
And
he's been getting a lot of all the reviews coming in are like, we want more time.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, don't you now wish there had been more scenes with him?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, I think we'll always, as soon as the movie's out, as soon as the first audience watches the movie,
then
you're like, oh, I would have changed that. Oh, I would have done, this. But you know what? If you just sit there and edit the movie over and over and add, and, you know, you can second guess yourself all the time. But I am happy with it. It's short and sweet. People want more. Well, maybe we'll give them more down the road.
Yeah. Was it hard to keep Tom from looking into the makeup effects and stuff? Did he have any interest in any of that, or did he kind of just concentrate on his acting?
He's all on the acting. That's why we called him in there. No, and besides, he's got Robert Kurtzman's creature crew doing all the effects.
Yeah, and they're good. They're good guys.
Top notch. I mean, Bob, the K and K&B effects. Bob himself isn't an effects legend.
Yeah,
you know that if he's tagging his name on there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the creature crew behind you. You're gonna have your makeup effects are gonna be really good. And so yeah, there was no. He knew he was in good hands. They worked together on From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
You know. So I mean, they've even spent time together in that relationship where Bob was like the producer on that film and Tom was and doing effects and Tom was acting.
Yeah.
So it was a really good feel on set. Very friendly, everybody kind of working together, taking limited resources and just trying to make the story happen. And I think it was all the cast, every single, there's no exceptions to the cast and crew on that, and it made for a great experience.
Well, and one thing I mentioned in my review, and it's obvious from looking at it, that, you know, even the cast members, it might not have been the greatest of cast members, there's no question that watching the whole thing, it looks like everybody had a good time, and that comes through. I mean, you can see that in a movie when people are enjoying what they're doing rather than just going through the motions, and I think that I could definitely say that about this film, is everybody looks like they're having a great time doing it.
They are. You know, everybody wanted to tell this story. It is. It's like, that's how we got a lot of the cast members, like Andy and Jason and a bunch of others. You know, they really like the script, you know, and they're like, hey, we're doing something a little different. We're not breaking, you know, new ground. We're not like, this isn't groundbreaking horror.
No.
It's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like an entertaining hour and a half. That's the goal. That being said, I think that what we're doing is different than what a lot of horror films are doing. Certainly what a lot of indie films are doing.
Yeah.
And I think that had a lot of appeal to everybody. Even shooting on film, I think that's pretty much done for the indies, I think. I mean, the way distribution is nowadays and the reality of the situation, movies in our budget range shot on film, they'll happen, but I don't, unless there's a massive shift in the processing fees and then for the film, you know, really changes. The industry changes. Yeah. I don't think that side of the industry changes. I don't think that you're going to see many movies shot on film. And we did. That's another appeal. You know,
right.
We're making a movie that when you see the shots up on the screen in, you know, standard definition, it looks kind of like the movies.
Yeah, film has a texture. Watching. Yeah, film has a texture that I'm afraid we're going to lose in the future in the industry.
We definitely will, because even Gary mentions that on the thing. The first thing he did as the producer was try and get me not to shoot on film for financial reasons.
Right.
In the end, I'm glad we did. I know it added, it didn't kill our budget. It just added an expense.
Yeah.
But I think in the end, the look is what, you know, there's scenes that I look and I watch, and it looks like the movies I grew up watching, because we're shooting on Super 16.
And yeah.
Like, you know, got that grainy look. It's got that texture to it.
Sure.
And, yeah, for me, I like that. I don't have anything yet. The next movie will probably be on, you know, the height of cameras.
Yeah. Now, you talked earlier about, like, the old Tales from the Crypt type things, and I have to say, I see this kind of William Gaines, you know, pulpy look in some of the, you know, especially some of the shots that you
mm-hmm.
make. And I was wondering if that was intentional. That was part of the atmosphere you were going for.
Absolutely, absolutely. Creep show.
Yeah.
You know, even the way Alex, the DP, Alex Esper, the way he lit some of those things, some of the greens and the colors.
Yep.
It's very creep show. It's very late 70s, early 80s. And those are the movies that, you know, we
uh-huh.
have a real, like, you know, affinity for, and we love so much. So, yeah, especially some of the, like, green lights and some of the different things that we use. I think it's very creep show, and creep show is Tales from the Crypt and Stephen King, and so it's like
mm-hmm.
the perfect combination of all my biggest influences in horror. And so, yeah, that comes out right there.
Now, you're talking about, you know, maybe hoping to get this thing on a bigger budget and release it. Are you talking about maybe a sequel? Or are you thinking about redoing it again, or what are your plans for this franchise or this?
Well, you know what? No, what I meant is when we were shooting back on, you know, back in '94, we wanted to do this in a format that I could at least take. I mean, I don't even think that original version was at, like, broadcast quality. You know, so it's like, you know, I was like, you know, I mean, you said it best. You've never even heard of it. You've never
right.
heard of the movie. You never saw it. And I was like, yeah, I think the technical quality was so bad that, you know, we could only take it so far. And I had this story that I wanted to tell. And it's like, just get it into a format with enough production value that, you know, I could take it to somebody and they could sit down and watch it and enjoy it and not be distracted by the audio or the picture quality.
Right.
You know, that's all I was looking for. So the story and this little world that we're trying to create
mm-hmm.
got a fair shake and people could, you know, check it out.
So will there be a sequel?
Don't know. I'm thinking a lot of different things right now. We, people, you know, one of the things is people really want to know more about these different characters that we touch on in the film. This whole world-building thing that we do in this movie
uh-huh.
has gotten people asking a lot of questions. And there is a lot of interest. There's a lot of interest in the first movie, and there's a lot of interest in, you know, developing some of these little, you know, little subplots that we touch on in the history. So will there be another film, you know, related to this world? Not, you know, I don't know. We didn't design this movie to, like, be part one of a three-part
series. Right.
That's not, you know, we designed it to stand on its own. But will we go further into this world and other projects? I can't say. It's possible. It's very possible.
Well, I'd like to see Tom Savini do a Vampire Godfather movie.
I tell you, I loved him in this. And, you know, just like you said, you know, he did a great job, and I love him and Andy facing off. It's kind of, it's fun.
So what is next up for you? What's going to be next on your plate?
Well, you know, that's what we're trying to figure out right now. We're distributing the film through Midnight Syndicate and our, you know, more of our music distribution
right.
background. So there's a lot to that. And so we have a lot of work to do on getting the word on the movie out there. And, you know, we appreciate your support because, yeah, that's what we need to do right now. Just
yeah.
And let people know, hey, we got a fun film here. Come check it out, you know, see what you think.
Yeah.
So that there's a lot of work involved in getting the movie out there and promoting it and taking it to the people. And so what's next? Well, there's a lot of different, you know, we need to do another Midnight Syndicate CD. That's, like, you know, very important, you know. Now, there's talk of a live show because now we have enough film footage that we can actually do the visual side
there you go.
Of a Midnight Syndicate live show. Yeah, so I mean, they're talking about that, and then of course, yeah. Do you know what's the next film? This was definitely not supposed to be a one-off. We just got everybody. You know, we got our crew together now. We got our group now. Let's make another one.
Yeah, well, I hope you'll keep us in, you know, keep us up to date and posted on what you're doing. We'd love to help you create some buzz for the next film even before it's out, get some things going on.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I know you're busy and you got a lot of projects on your thing here, especially with the music. You think you'll have another one out by Halloween?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
That's true.
We try, you know, we get the soundtrack. We package the movie and the soundtrack. And Midnight Syndicate's a kind of greatest hits type CD. We packaged all of it together, and we're giving it, you know, we're selling it for a pretty good price.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it kind of ties in. If you like the music, that's great. You're going to get, like, a free CD or, you know, a really cheap, you know, two CDs with the DVD.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, satisfies you, you know, if you're waiting for the next Midnight Syndicate stuff. There's a lot of new material on that soundtrack. In the Midnight Syndicate style that you'll really enjoy. And so we'll be riding that for the next couple months, going out there, letting people know about that. And we have a new CD, a new EP that we did called Dark Masquerade, just six songs. But it's music that we've released in the past, only with an operatic female vocalist called Destiny Beard, her name is. And she sings over top the music. We blended it in. And it really adds another dimension to the music, a very haunting quality. And so we're going to be going and taking that out to people, too, and letting them know about that. So,
well, why don't you tell people where they can go on the web to find out more about what Midnight Syndicate's up to?
MidnightSyndicate.com. And I really invite people to check out our Facebook page, Midnight Syndicate's Facebook page, just simply Facebook.com, Midnight Syndicate, because, yeah, we're growing that. We just started, you know, this year really pushing that. And it's a great little community, and we definitely, it's easier to update people and have a list of the events on that page. So either place you go, you'll find out what we're up to and be able to check out samples from the music that we do and trailer from the Dead Matter. Oh, yes. The Dead Matter website is thedeadmatter.com.
Okay.
And, yeah, cool site. Kind of fun. I think people will enjoy it if they stop over there.
Well, we'll get these sites also linked on the podcast as well, and wish you a whole lot of luck in your future endeavors.
Hey, thanks so much, Juno. I really appreciate it.
Hey, listen, it was great talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. Thanks.
You take care.